Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Going to read from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 15, the Yoga of the Supreme Person, text number 8. Shriram yadavapnoti yatschapyu kramati shraha krihi vaitani samyati vayur ganda ivashayat. The living entity in the material world carries his different conceptions of life from one body to another, as the air carries aromas. Thus he takes one kind of body and again quits it to take another. Śrīla Prabhupāda's purport. Here the living entity is described as Īśvara, the controller of his own body. If he likes, he can change his body to a higher grade, and if he likes, he can move to a lower class. Minute independence is there. The change his body undergoes depends upon him. At the time of death, the consciousness he has created will carry him on to the next type of body. If he has made his consciousness like that of a cat or dog, he is sure to change to a cat's or dog's body. And if he has fixed his consciousness on godly qualities, he will change into the form of a demigod. And if he is in Krishna consciousness, he will be transferred to Krishna Loka and the spiritual world and will associate with Krishna. It is a false claim that after the annihilation of this body, everything is finished. The individual soul is transmigrating one body to another, and his present body and present activities are the background of his next body. One gets a different body according to karma, and he has to quit this body in due course. It is stated here that the subtle body which carries the conception of the next body develops another body in the next life. This process of transmigrating from one body to another and struggling all in the body is called karshiti, or struggle for existence. So the text again. Shriram yadavapnoti yatschapyukramati shraha rihi vaitani samyati vayur ganda ivashayat. The living entity in the material world carries his different conceptions of life from one body to another, as the air carries aromas, as he takes one kind of body and again quits it to take another. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutai Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskatyade Siddharane. Bhagavad Gita is based upon the primary principal assumption that there's a difference between ourselves and the body. What we now conceive of as ourselves is actually just a product of our previous desires and activities while in the material world. And even the body that we have is not exactly ourselves. It's more or less a manifestation of the material energy based upon our previous desires and activities. Therefore, Krishna consciousness is based upon waking up, and the process of waking up is principally based upon hearing from authorities, who we are, what this world is, who the Supreme Person is, what's the process by which we can come to our original state of consciousness, which is said to be full of happiness or peace. That the fools, they deride at my descending in this human-like form. They don't know my transcendental nature and my supreme dominion over all the big. So, we're trying to convince people that we are the Lord, and we're very unhappy with the people who don't acknowledge that. It is not that to become the Lord, we necessarily have to take a stick and beat people over the head with it. Generally, we act nice to people. We attract people by our opulence. Maybe we're expert. For instance, is one person, he can take a stick and he can hit a little ball into a hole. And people are completely overwhelmed with love for him because of his mystic power of hitting a little ball into a hole with a stick. It doesn't take much to become God nowadays. Other people may hit it with a racket, a ball over the net, or they may paint a picture, or they may be a great actor. They can go from being a werewolf to a fairy. And people are overwhelmed by their ability to change, like the demons. Some of the demons have mystic powers, or the demigods, and they can change from one form to another. So if someone can change from one identity to the next, people will give them millions and millions of dollars. Exactly who they actually are, they even can't figure out themselves after some time. So many changes of identity. In any case, people are somehow or another trying to attract others into believing that they're the center of existence. A woman says, "I love you," and the man says, "I'll protect you." But they're really saying, "I love you as long as you can satisfy my senses. And I'll protect you as long as you can satisfy my senses, as long as you make me feel like I'm the center of the universe, that I'm the controller and the enjoyer. I love you. Actually, I'd like to eat you, but it would be impolite, so I say I love you." Translated, "I'll actually devour you if I can." Therefore, what goes on in the name of trying to become the supreme and the enjoyer may be variable, may have many varieties, but ultimately that's the desire of the living entity to somehow or another enjoy his body and to protect the body and somehow or another have a good time in the material world with his body as the center of one's existence. But Krishna consciousness doesn't mean we give up the body. It simply means giving up the false idea that we're the center of the universe. Actually, Krishna is the center of the universe, and no one can do anything without Krishna's assistance. We're completely dependent upon Krishna, although we don't like to recognize Krishna, because he's the competition. But if we just recognize Krishna, and we understand our dependency upon Krishna, and try to put Krishna as the center of our existence, then when we chant Hare Krishna, then the result is we'll actually experience Krishna. Not that we simply chant Hare Krishna, "Krishna, please appear before me when I need you, and please go away when I don't want you. Please come and give me everything I want, but don't interfere with my material plans. Be a nice God, please." Don't get greedy or envious. You got your kingdom and I have mine. So as long as we have that idea, our consciousness of Krishna will be rather limited. But if we factually accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and actually try to please him by following his instructions and understand that Krishna, trying to please him, means that we have a loving relationship with him, that we're giving up this false idea of taking his place, and we actually want to do things and put him in the center, especially by informing others that their real love affair should not be with the body, it should be with Krishna. If we ourselves become convinced that our loving affair should be with Krishna, and then try to convince others that their loving affair will be with Krishna, should be with Krishna, then our life will become perfect. Then when we chant the holy name, we'll feel Krishna's presence, and we'll be able to feel Krishna's devotees' presence, and our life will become spiritualized, and eventually our real identity will be welcomed, we'll wake up again, and understand who we really are, and what our real interest in life is. So, we have these books here. If anyone doesn't have Bhagavad Gita, or if you do have, then be a real friend to others and get some more Bhagavad Gitas and then distribute them to others. Well, thank you. Any questions? Yes. No, I doubt with the thousands. If you chant out loud, that's probably the best. There's no such thing as thousands and millions of times more beneficial. If you just chant out loud and hear the holy name with attention and reverence, at least, if not absorption, then you'll directly feel experience Krishna. Krishna is unlimited. There's no question of one method being better than the other. But in this age, it's recommended to chant out loud. Because if we try to chant silently, first of all, we probably can do it for a couple of mantras, and then our mind will start talking to us, praising how wonderful we are, that we're so advanced that we can do it silently. Then we'll have, you know, half an hour with our false ego praising us, how what a wonderful yogi we are, and how silently we chant the Hare Krishna mantra. And there's so much noise everywhere. We'll be listening to the noise. It's so easy to become distracted if you chant silently. You can try it, but the important thing is to chant Hare Krishna. One time I was with Srila Prabhupada at a university engagement. We went to a Catholic university where they were chanting silently. And someone mentioned that about silent prayer, and Prabhupada said, no, in this age, it's the loud chanting of the holy name which is recommended. So just try it. The point is that when we chant loudly or we chant silently, generally we're distracted. So we should try to pay attention. Silently or loudly, we should pay attention. But it's easier to pay attention if there is realizing the tongue and the lips and our ears. Then it's easier to hear Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande Hari Bol.